91.3 KXCI Tucson. Real people, real radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to 91.3 KXCI, where you find real people and real radio. This is Aspen Green with my co-host Kathy Harris, and you're listening to Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. And you can hear more of our programs at kxci.org on the Broad Perspectives podcast page. We have the great pleasure today of having back with us Virginia Cannon, who has a long history in the music business, both in Nashville and Tucson. She has an upcoming event on May 10th and 11th at Monterey Court, and we're very excited to hear about it, and lots more inspiring projects. Tell us more, Kathy.
Well, I absolutely will, and we are excited to have Virginia Cannon, who is a music industry consultant from Nashville with decades of experience working as a consultant, talent manager, and live performance coach. While working in Nashville, Virginia hosted a popular weekly songwriter showcase for over 8 years on Nashville's historic Music Row. Such a fun place. When she moved to Tucson, she began hosting a monthly songwriter showcase at Monterey Court that went on for over 7 years. Her monthly songwriter showcases continue now at Brother John's on the fourth Saturday of each month. Next weekend, she's hosting an indie music conference with an LA music entertainment executive to talk about, get this, how musicians can make actual money. Well, I think that will be a welcome topic for many Tucson musicians. Virginia, welcome to Broad Perspectives.
Thank you.
Before we get into your latest music projects, you know, I don't think a lot of people know that your background also includes the art world. You've done art consulting to luxury hotels and upscale residences, including many celebrities, for a long time. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that was actually what I went to college for. I was an art student and a double major in studio art and art history. And then I got bored and I dropped out. And I ended up going to work for an interior design firm that had an in-house art department. And all they did was put together art collections for the luxury hotels that they did. It was right up my alley. I got involved in the art right away when I was like 22 and just stayed there until I had my daughter. And then I started my own company in 1988. So that was my first career. And back then, the art business was just booming. Hyatt Hotels would give you $1 million or $1.5 million just for the art collection. And then the recession of 2008 came along. I had moved to Nashville in 2000 because I had so many clients there and it was so much fun. And every time I went to Nashville, I thought, well, I went to high school here. I already knew so many people. Why don't I just move back? Because what I do, I can do from anywhere. And so I moved back, and that's how I sort of got into that whole celebrity world of art collecting. First one I ever did was for Tony Brown, who was Elvis Presley's last piano player, the president of MCA Records. He was so easy to work with. I just brought art in. He looked at it. He said, okay, I want this, 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 and this. And how much is it? And I added all up and I went, $88,000. He goes, okay. And he gets out his checkbook. I was like, okay, this is for me.
Yeah, I can do this for a while.
Yeah. And then it became this word of mouth click. I did the president of Sony Records. I did the president of Capitol Records. I did the president of Polydor Records, and then they started passing me on to their artists. One of the first private collections I did was for Wynonna Judd, and that woman is hysterical. She's so much fun to work with and just naturally witty. That's kind of seemed to be the theme with the celebrities. They all have this charisma for days, and they're all very funny and very fun to work around.
Who were some of the other famous people that you did artwork for?
I did a collection for Kid Rock. He was pretty much fun. Lived in Detroit. He's from Detroit. And he bought a condo in Nashville. And it was very vertical. It had three main floors. And so he wanted a theme in each floor. Like he wanted rock and roll, I think, was the top floor. country was the middle floor and hip hop. People either love him or they hate him, but he was wonderful to work with. He just walked in, he walked around, he was like, okay, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. And same thing. They never ask for discounts. They never haggle with prices. It's like, okay, I want it. I'm going to buy it. And interestingly enough, there was a Tucson tie-in because I bought a piece on the secondary market. It was etched glass done by Michael Joplin.
Oh, yes, I know he
Yeah.
does some
You know the
glass work.
Joplin? Oh, they're wonderful. Their work is incredible. There was a whole provenance that came with the piece that talked about him being Janice's little brother, and Kid Rock thought that was really funny. And I remember my daughter, she was probably about 14, and she goes, "Oh, I can't believe you're doing a job with Kid Rock." She goes, "What do you call him? Do you call him like Kid?" And I said, "No, he makes everybody call him Mr. Rock." She goes, "Oh my God, Mom, sweetheart, his name is Bob, Bobby Ritchie. That's his name. Nobody calls him Kid Rock."
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you talked about the Joplin's glasswork too, because I just became aware of that myself, and they have some pieces around town I just went to see. So after Nashville, you moved to Tucson to be with your father, and eventually you got into the music scene here. You started running singer-songwriter shows, first at Monterey Court, and now you do that at Brother John's. And you have also been a performance coach for young musicians. And in 2018, you planned and hosted a major Nashville songwriting contest with Nashville producers. And now you have a few more exciting music projects in the pipeline. You just never quit. Let's start with the Indie Music Conference you have scheduled for May 10th. That's just next week. As I understand it, this is a conference that will tell musicians how to actually make money. What a novel concept. Tell us what inspired you to do this.
After we did, Bobby Rymer and I put that songwriting contest together, and we'd always planned to do more workshops here because everybody just loved it. And he was doing the one-on-ones where people could go in, pay to spend half an hour or an hour with him and ask anything they wanted or get song critiques or. And people just raved over it, and they kept asking me, "When are you going to do it again? When are you going to do it again?" We always had planned to do it again, and then COVID hit, and then life happens. And so Bobby and I have actually been planning this workshop since the fall, and the dates just never lined up. And then suddenly I'm just like, I got to do this. And Bobby had another project that conflicted. So that's why I brought Alan Brewer in. Alan, I met him in Nashville. I did an art collection when him and his wife moved from LA to Nashville. And my daughter used to babysit their children. And so there's a long personal history there with Alan. I've known him and his family for a long time. He's a 40-year veteran in the industry. He has been a music supervisor on TV and film. He's produced movies. He obviously since has moved back to LA, works in music publishing. He does sync licensing. He's like the king of sync licensing. He understands the legalities, he understands the ins and outs, and he understands what makes it work and what doesn't. He's invited me along to a couple of conferences, and I just became absolutely fascinated with the whole concept of music in TV and film. And you start to pay attention a lot more, like, oh, wow, like I hadn't thought of that. One of the workshops is going to focus, first of all, on the legalities of licensing music and how that works and what to expect. And then we're going to do a separate one that is more the creative side of what are the producibles, what do you have to produce. It's like anything else. If you make it easy for the music supervisor, you're more likely to get a music placement. And there's a lot of different ways you can do it. They recommend an instrumental track because sometimes they just want the music playing in the background. Sometimes you can take a very popular song and turn it into like a reggae song, or you can take a popular song that's country music song and give it a Latin beat. Or there's just a lot of crazy fun stuff you can do that works in that arena. So we're going to focus on that. We're going to focus on music publishing, the ins and outs of independent music publishing. And self-distribution. Like, do you go with a company or do you do it yourself? So many people are doing it themselves these days. But what Alan's going to do is teach them how to make money doing it themselves because they're not handing out record deals like they used to. You can't get a touring agent unless you're already booking yourself 250 to 300,000 a year. So what are the people in between supposed to do? There's just a lot of things that people are creating CDs, they're making records all the time here, and they're releasing them and they're putting singles on Spotify and Apple Music and all the platforms, but yet they don't know how to collect the money that is owed to them. They don't know how to go any farther than that. And what do they do next? That's what we're hoping to achieve, is to help them create a path for themselves of how to get ahead instead of just continuing to create and nothing happens.
That sounds amazing, actually. It's something that I've never heard of happening in this town before. I think it's going to be very helpful. Right now, let's take a music break and then we'll come back and talk about this some more. It's very fascinating. Aspen, what are we going to hear for music?
Virginia has picked the song Wildfire by Lauren Lawson, which is a most beautiful song, and we love Lauren's music. Why did you choose that song for today's selection?
Well, it is her latest single, and it's one of those songs that just touches me every single time I hear it. Lyrically, it's just so deep and cleverly worded, but at the same time, her storytelling ability within this song is unlike what most people are capable of.
All right, that's an excellent reason. And Lauren Lawson is a Tucson singer-songwriter who, by the time she was 16 years old, had already won a number of music awards. Lauren started music lessons when she was 7 years old and wrote her first song, Cry for You, at 10 years old, which placed her in the top 10 in 2018 in Arizona's Passport to Nashville songwriting contest. She was also in the top 10 finalists in the 2019 Tucson Folk Festival Songwriting Contest and the top 10 in 2018's Oro Valley's Got Talent Contest. And she was the first place winner in the 2018 Top Tunes Rock Contest in Tucson. So she's won a lot of awards. She says she wrote Wildfire in April of 2022 in her second semester of college at the University of Arizona in the music practice room. Starting college was a huge change in her life, and it came with a lot of anxiety and stress. One day she decided she needed to escape for a little bit, so she went into a music practice room to work on a new song. The song Wildfire was released in 2023. So let's listen to Wildfire by Lauren Lawson.
It's getting real late, and I'm getting real tired. Tired of feeling uninspired. Put your thoughts down in words, and they'll start to make sense. But my thoughts spread like wildfire. In my defense, find some self-control. My
Wow, what a fantastic song. Like you said, Lauren was on our show in 2019, and we really love her music. I hope we continue to see her do music in the future. 91.3 KXCI Tucson, Real People, Real Radio. And we're returning to our interview with Virginia Cannon.
Yes, and thank you for picking a song by Lauren. I really love her and hope I get to see her again. So to continue with our discussion about the conference coming up with Alan Brewer, I think you told me he's doing this conference all over the country. Is that right?
He is. In June alone, he'll be at the ACMs in Nashville. They're paying him to spend a week in Costa Rica to give a series of workshops.
Oh.
He does a lot of music festivals. He sits on the panel of a lot of TV and film music, things like Sundance Film Festival. He's was one of the founding members of Nashville Film.
Yeah, I think that speaks to the fact that musicians really do not know how to turn their talent into money. It's a very, very needed kind of thing to do. I suspect it might be very popular here. Tell us what the logistics of the conference are. Where is it? What time? All that stuff.
It's at Monterey Court on Saturday, May 10th. It's from 9 to 4. Breakfast is included, lunch is included. And we'll be doing a series of workshops, Q&As after each workshop. And then the last segment of the day will be an open critique, I guess. You can present a song. Writing for radio is very different from writing for TV and film. So you can either present a song and Alan can critique that for radio play, or you can present a produced track and he can critique that for TV and film. They can submit it in the form of an MP3, and we'll have it lined up.
Okay, and we specifically want to mention that on Sunday, May 11th, that's a day when the musicians can sign up to meet individually with Alan for a half hour or an hour. What kinds of things would they talk about in these individual sessions?
It's their time. They can talk about anything they want. They can bring in an instrument, and he can critique a song or however many songs will fit in the time slot allowed. Or they can talk about music, business, what we say, take notes on the 10th, and anything that you want to expand upon further, that's your opportunity to do it. And it's actually starting to fill up. So I would encourage anybody that wants to meet with him privately should hop on that. You don't have to take the conference. If you want to do a one-on-one, you can do them separately. You don't have to do them in tandem. A lot of people work on Saturdays and we're opening it up. And also, we have the capability of doing it over Zoom for people that aren't in town. A lot of people that were here for the Tucson Folk Festival want to do it. So we're going to Zoom them in for their session with him.
Okay, that's really great to know. And how do musicians register for this? Where do they go to register? How do they register?
They register by emailing me at virginiacannon14@gmail.com. It's all over my social media. I've got two Instagram accounts, pardon me, and a Facebook account. The way that people can sign up for this conference is that by emailing me at virginiacannon14@gmail.com. I've got a website that should go live today, which will give them the opportunity to sign up on the website, and also they could pay with a credit card on the website. Everything can be done from the site. That will be called virginiacannonpresents.com. What that will also include, they can register either for the conference or for the one-on-ones, exclusively one or the other. I wanted to let everybody know that we have decided to extend the early bird pricing for the Indie Music Conference. We're extending it to Sunday, May 4th at midnight. So everything, all the answers should be there. Hop on there and register. The other reason I've created this website is to include all the other events that I've been getting involved in. Like the booking at Tesoro restaurant. It's a new restaurant here in town that has me booking every Friday and Saturday night. They've got a beautiful stage and they're in a beautiful music room, and they're trying to create more of a nighttime scene, people coming in to listen to music, and they've got all these signature drinks and things like that. That's one of the many things. I'm doing a special events for them. We're doing a big party on Cinco de Mayo. It's going to be on the cover of Tucson Weekly. I'm also doing my songwriter shows now at Brother John's, as you mentioned earlier, and I've also been doing special events for him. So all of that will be on the website. I'm trying to find a place to put it all where people can look and see what's going on. I think it's going to be the best way because social media, you can't control the algorithms, can you?
That's right. And I also heard you say once that you are going to reinstitute the Young Superstars program you used to have.
I spoke to them yesterday. We're going to do it at Tesoro. We're going to get started next month, and I'm going to do a monthly show. We did one there sort of as an experiment. And I think they were shocked at how successful it was. And frankly, I was shocked at how many kids came out of the woodwork because I really thought that most of my former students had aged out. I'm doing like age 13 to 28, and they all want to play. They all just want to perform. And it was so rewarding to watch them and see their parents again and see how much a lot of them have grown up. And now they're writing songs. And so they're doing a combination of covers and originals. And it's my happy place. I love working with the kids for sure.
Yeah, I loved seeing them too. That's really good to know that they're all coming back, and we'll look forward to seeing some shows in the future. I'm kind of wondering, you do all these different kinds of things. Do you have a dream job that you'd like to do? Is there anything out there you want to do that you haven't been able to do yet?
You know, I kind of enjoy everything that I do, and I got really fortunate. I was looking for something part-time, and I just happened to see a sign in the window of a frame shop. I called the woman up, so now I'm working part-time at a frame shop. She framed the 40th anniversary Tucson Folk Festival poster. And anybody who bought a poster, she's offering a 25% discount on framing because the 40th anniversary is kind of a big deal. And just very generously offered to frame that up, so that people would know that that's the place to go to get your framing done.
Yeah, it kind of brings your art world and your music world together.
It's right up my alley, so I get to play with artwork and design framing. So I feel very fortunate. It took me a while to figure out where I fit in here in Tucson, and I think I finally figured it out. So now I'm having a great time.
Well, that's great. And you're bringing some really wonderful venues to our city, and we're very grateful for that. Tell our audience again the date and place of Indie Music Conference for musicians and how can they register.
Yes, you can register at virginiacannon14@gmail.com. You can see it on my two Instagram pages and Facebook page. It will have the poster up there with all the information. Saturday and Sunday, May 10th and 11th from 9 to 4. The first day will be all workshops with Q&As and an open forum for song critiques. The second day will be one-on-one private meetings with Alan Brewer.
All right. Well, that's great. Thanks, Virginia. Thanks for all these things that you're doing. And thanks for coming on with us today. I think we are out of time, though, right, Aspen?
Ah, yes, we're out of time for today, but we're so grateful we had the opportunity to talk to you, Virginia Cannon, and catch up. I hope you have lots of success with the music conference for indie artists. And thanks to all of you out there for listening to Broad Perspectives Radio today. You can hear more of our programs at kxci.org on our Broad Perspectives podcast page. And now stay tuned because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Have a great week and we'll see you next Sunday.
Thanks for having me.